and who never begat children after the natural way will have a seed developed along spiritual lines, and that's the seed promised to him in Psalm 22 and verse 30, and says the psalmist, it will be counted to him for a generation. So that whereas the song had said in the eighth verse, who shall declare the generation of the servant, the voice of the psalmist comes back, that there shall be a whole seed in the age to come by which the generation of the servant will finally and gloriously be declared. And all the saints will be seen as the seed of the Lord's generation, even though he was cut off in the prime of his life. And so verse 11 of the song says, he shall in that day see of the travail of his soul. Hezekiah had the satisfaction of his city delivered, but the Lord will have the satisfaction of seeing all of that multitudinous seed that will be counted to him for a generation in the age to come. The word travail here means toil, and the lesson of the phrase, he shall see of the travail of his soul, is simply this, that the benefits achieved by the servant are not without cost. The benefits that are achieved by the servant are not without cost, and yet the cost that he pays will be more than compensated for by the joy when he sees the travail of his soul and has satisfaction in that knowledge. And so verse 11 says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Interesting, brothers and sisters, this is the first time and the last time, in fact the only time, that the servant is called my righteous servant. In all the servant songs, this is the only time that this title is now applied to him, you see, at the end, because he's won righteousness, hasn't he, both for himself and for others. God has vindicated him. This is God's final estimate now of this man. This man, my servant, stands as righteous before me, says God. And as the whole nation was delivered by Hezekiah, so now a great and multitudinous seed shall be delivered by the actions of the righteous servant who led and who is saved on the very basis of his knowledge of divine principles. He shall justify many. And so verse 12 says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And so the final work of the servant is all bound up beautifully in this series of descriptions in the 12th verse of the great benefit of his labours. I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And so he shall, brothers and sisters, because the spoils here are the fruits of his victory, and the promise of the servant is that he will share that victory with others. But the great question is, with whom will he share? With whom will the servant share? And the answer is, says verse 12, he will share with the great. I will divide him with the great. In fact, that word great is the same word translated many in the verse, and in fact that's a key word in the song. This is who the servant will share the benefits of his labours with. Did you notice this as we came through the song? It's a key word, you see. Look, Isaiah 52 verse 14. As many as were astonied at thee. Isaiah 52 verse 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Isaiah 53 verse 11, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Isaiah 53 verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the many. It's the same word in the Hebrew. And finally now in verse 12, he was numbered with the transgressors and he bare the sin of many. You see, the labors of the servant are for the many. That's who he shares the spoils of his victory with. Do you know that phrase, brothers and sisters, the many, I believe is taken up out of the fourth servant song and brought into other Bible passages in a wonderful way. Isn't it strange how just such a simple little word suddenly takes on greater significance? You see, look at these two. Daniel chapter 9. He shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week. Mark 10 verse 44 says, "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." See, this is the key word of the song, taken up now in other passages concerning the benefit of the servant's labours. Matthew 26 and verse 28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, "But not of the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. My righteous servant shall justify many," was the promise of the song. That's a key idea. It's suddenly taken up all over Scripture, the many. The many who share in the benefits of the labours of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous servant of God. So who are they, brothers and sisters? Who are the many who benefit? Actually, just before we do that and I answer that question, let me actually give you the key passage first, because I'm running out of time here. So I'm not actually going to take you to this passage. I'm just going to ask you to take a note of it, because I think this is the key passage concerning the second part of the servant song in terms of the application of the principles of the song in our own life. Now you see what Peter says in the 1 Peter 2 verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow." You know, you need to read verse 21 carefully. Verse 21 is not saying that the Lord suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow, that i.e. that we also must suffer. Verse 21 is not saying that we ought to follow the Lord and suffer. The example that Christ leaves us in verse 21 is not the suffering that he endured, but his attitude to suffering, his approach to suffering, how he dealt with suffering, his spirit under suffering, is the example he's left us to follow. And here it is, verse 22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Where's that from? That's Isaiah 53. "Nor opened his mouth, no deceit in his mouth." This is the servant who silently submits to suffering. "Oppressed he did humble himself, nor opened his mouth." Verse 23 says, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but yielded himself, surrendered himself to him that judges righteously." The whole of that section, brothers and sisters, in the 1 of Peter 2 is saturated with allusions to the fourth servant song. And I think this is the great spirit of the second part of the song. The silent suffering of the servant is the spirit that we ought to take up in our own lives. That's the example that Christ has left us to follow. And so Peter takes the fourth servant song and says this ought really to apply in your own life. And if it is, brothers and sisters, then I believe that we become one of the many. I think that the many that the Lord Jesus Christ shares the fruits of his victory with are those who take up the spirit of the servant in their own lives. Only those who also have become the servant in their own lives, only those who identify with the work of the servant in their own lives, only they finally benefit from his labours and share the fruits of his victory. These are the many. You want to know something interesting, brothers and sisters, about the prophecy of Isaiah? Do you know this, that you see all the way through these chapters, Isaiah 40 to 53, we have the servant of the Lord, the servant, the servant, the servant, the servant. Do you know that after Isaiah 53 closes in the last fourth great servant song, do you know what actually happens? The word servant is never found again in the book of Isaiah. Did you know that? The word servant in the singular is never found again in the book. that the word servants is almost as if Isaiah says that now that the labours of God's righteous servant are ended, if we are to be part of the many with whom he shares the fruits of victory, then we also must become the servants of God and take up the spirit of his teaching if we are to share with him. And so here's the rest of the prophecy, you see. Isaiah 54, this is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh. Isaiah 56, to love the name of Yahweh and to be his servants. Isaiah 63, return to for thy servant's sake. Isaiah 65, I will do it for my servant's sake. Again in Isaiah 65, my servants shall dwell there. Isaiah 65 again, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. My servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. My servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. My servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry, and ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord Yahweh shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. Isaiah 66, and when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of Yahweh shall be known towards his servants, and his indignation towards his enemies. And the servants of Yahweh becomes a key theme in the balance of the book of Isaiah, but never the servant again in the singular. These are the many, aren't they? These are the many who will share with him if we take up, brothers and sisters, the spirit of his labours. So what ought we to do then so that the servant's songs can become living and powerful in our own lives? Well, we've got to do just that. We've got to become the servants of Yahweh in our own lives. And that means we've got to live by the same principles. And that means that we don't look at the messianic songs here of the servant and say that they apply to Christ. We say these apply to us because they are messianic. And because they are the songs of Christ, they ought to be the songs of the saints of Christ. So what should we learn then, brothers and sisters, and take away from the school so that we might also become the servants of God? Well, let's just mentally review, shall we, what we've learned. We need to learn to surrender to our Master and reflect his will. I have put my spirit upon him. We need to learn the spirit of quietness and meekness. He shall not cry nor lift up. We need to learn with gentleness and kindness, a bruised reed shall he not break. We need to nourish and encourage the things of God in others. A smoking flax he shall not quench. We need to develop an attitude of patience and perseverance in life. Nor shall he fail, nor be discouraged. We need to help to enlighten others in the things of the truth, to open blind eyes. We need to be conscious of the divine influence in our lives at all times. Yahweh hath called me from the womb, from my mother's midst mentioned my name. We need to learn the need for preparation in the things of the truth. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. We need to turn to God in times of distress. Yet surely my judgment is with my God and my work with my Elohim. We need to appreciate angelic care working in our lives. And my Elohim have become my strength. We need to accept an increase in our labors and to be joyful with that. I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. We need, brothers and sisters, to remember the need for regular spiritual meditation and Bible study. Morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear. We need to learn how to speak words that will really comfort and help other people, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We need to learn the spirit of supreme loyalty, and I was not rebellious, nor turned away back. We need to learn the secret of love. My Lord Yahweh hath opened mine ear. We need to develop that supreme spirit of steadfast resolve. My Lord Yahweh shall help me. Who is he that doth accuse me? We need to remember the way of the wicked and their final end. Behold, lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. We need to believe in the future exaltation of all those who have been faithful. My servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. We need to learn the spirit of sympathetic care and ministration for others. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We need to learn the spirit of absolute self-control, yet he opened not his mouth. We need to learn the spirit of silent suffering in humility before whatever trials come upon us. Oppressed, he did humble himself. And if we can do those things, brothers and sisters, then we shall have taken up the spirit of the songs in our own lives, so that they shall become powerful for us, so that the righteous servant shall share the fruits of his victory with us when he divides the portion with the many. And so above all things, brothers and sisters, so that when he returns, he might look upon us, and he might recognize us as the generation that he never had in the days of his earthly ministry, that he might recognize and count us as a seed that belongeth unto him, and that in seeing his seed, brothers and sisters, in that great day, he might see the travail of his soul and be satisfied.